Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
The current presentation that you're hopefully all going to enjoy is about the integrated father. And I have Jaymin Patel with me. And you're not only an author of 8 books successfully, but also started 4 companies in 4 different countries. You've done TEDx talks and all the qualifications I'm going to just leave to the side, because the main point today is you're a father of 2 sons. And that has been massively important for you to start your own journey of personal growth and also helping other fathers to become better fathers, better partners, and like learn to kind of include that element in a healthy way. So I'll just leave it to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christina. And thank you, everyone, for being here. Seeing in the chat, there's parents, there's fathers, there's non-parents, there's women. So there's mothers. I love that we have such a broad mix of people, because I think this topic is some of the most important that needs to be shared with the world. Just in the space of toxic masculinity, you know, being in a current narrative, and this new generational shift that we're in terms of people wanting to parent different than the way that they were parented, it just brings a lot out for activating your father energy and speaking about how to embody your role as a dad today to create more connection with your kids, to your partner, and most importantly, to yourself and your embodiment. So thank you for joining me for the Integrated Father. If I could summarize my entire presentation, I can do so in just 2 words, and that is pattern and practice. At any point in your life, you're either in a pattern or you're in a practice. And what you're gonna find is that when you're in a pattern, and these are things that we have all picked up, you know, from our childhood, you know, either intentionally or unintentionally from our parents, our teachers, the first people that we dated, people that we met in college, our first coworkers. And those patterns are the things that end us in the same place, right? They get us to the same result. And so for every time that we're in a pattern, there's an option to also choose a practice. And so what I want to share with you today are especially what I've learned in my fatherhood journey that apply to all of life. Just so you know, everything that I talk about in relation to kids definitely translates to adults, all right? So you can use all this in all parts of your life, no matter where you are in relating, where you are in your parenting journey, if you're even there yet or not. And so just keep this in mind. You know, when I put this together, it really helped change my perspective of like, oh, what's happening right now? Am I in a pattern, or am I choosing a conscious practice that's gonna take me on an upward spiral instead of a downward spiral? So why are you here? Please type in the chat for just joining us, you know, why you're here, what you're here to learn, if you're a parent, where in the world you are. I love just getting a sense of who's in the room. This is gonna be a very interactive session. If you're watching this on recording, you're gonna get a lot out from the audience as well. So thank you for being here live or watching this later on. So a couple of things I'm going to cover today. Why we're set up to fail as dads. So we are actually set up to fail in society as dads. And there's a lot of stories that exist around what a dad needs to be that actually set us up for failure. So I'm gonna bring those into light. I'm gonna be sharing a powerful tool on how to intentionally connect with your children in less than 20 minutes. You can also use this with your partner, with your friends, with your community, if you're seeking deep intentional connection. Now, of course, these aren't your abs, so you don't need to just only do 20 minutes. But when you have a lot on your plate and it's a busy day, and you want to get that deep core connection, and you have four children maybe, as some of the attendees here, how can you do all that? And so in less than 20 minutes, you can actually do this. And of course, if you have more time, you can do it for a longer period of time. I'm going to be sharing who we need to be to enjoy lasting intimacy. Everybody is probably aware that once you have children, if you haven't had them yet, you'll realize that intimacy goes down, right? The mother usually goes through a lot of physical, physiological, psychological, hormonal changes in her body, changes her sex drive, changes the relationship. Then you have a kid around all the time, 24/7. So when do you have time for intimacy? And so there's actually some tools that I want to keeping that intimacy alive all the way throughout and beyond having children. What it means to activate our inner king and why it's so important to do so, super, super important for us to step in, believing that we should be humble and not claim our power and all of this stuff. And that's not true. We actually need to claim our inner king to bring harmony into our family and community. And I'll be talking about one of my favorite things, which is which masculine archetypes will help us live a more fulfilling life. Archetypal work has been really powerful for shifting my entire life. And I want to share that with you today so we can hopefully have that same impact for you. So beautiful seeing all these chats coming in. And if you are, again, just joining, please be sure to type in the chat a little bit more about you, who you are, where you're from, and what brought you here. So I love, love, love seeing the comments here. A little bit about who I am. You know, Christina mentioned I'm an author, speaker, coach. I've done a lot of stuff, but more importantly, the thing I want to tell you today is that I grew up in a not so amazing childhood. You know, I grew up with a very narcissistic parent, very abusive parent. I was also the youngest of three and the only boy, so I was put on a pedestal, and I had a lot of pressure of who I needed to be growing up. And it was like this very like specific idea that I was an extension of my parents on this planet, and my goal in life was to fulfill their dreams to make them happy. Anyone relate to that? Type in the chat if you relate to that. So, and especially you can look up about narcissistic parents, but it's a very toxic environment to grow up in. And even though they're very loving, they can be very toxic. And so a lot of forgiveness work and a lot of stuff in this channel is around that, but it is really, really powerful to that. Yeah, beautiful. Love that. I love seeing that. So what this made me was a people pleaser. And I was an amazing people pleaser. I've been really great at understanding what people want, what they want from me, and giving that to them. And that's really what's directed me all throughout my life. And you know, I went and worked in corporate America, had a great job, went to a top MBA program, worked in management consulting, left that to become an author, speaker, and coach, written 8 books, and it's just kind of, you know, taking me on this journey. And so one thing I want to highlight is as hard as my childhood was and the pressures, there is some gold in that. And when I can balance seeing the gifts as well as the difficulty in my journey, that's kind of what gives me freedom to feel more integrated in who I am as a dad and be aware of what aspects I'm passing on to the next generation, which means my children and also other young ones. And so this ultimately led me to being invited to give my first TED Talk, which I highly recommend you check out. It's all about, I talk about if you want to be successful, you got to be weird. And so it's called The Surprising Truth About Inspiring Others. If you just Google Jamin and TEDx, you'll find it. That was a really highlight point in my career. And after I had left everything behind, like my corporate job and all of this, I then got married to my wife, who's also speaking on the Intimacy and Relationships channel here at the Embodiment Conference. Her name is Eri Cardo. She's one of the top relationship coaches in the world. And I'm so lucky to have married her because she's helped me heal so much of my relating trauma. And together we have 2 children and we travel around the world together. We're currently living in Bali, Indonesia. Our love story was also featured in Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Miracle of Love, which is a very beautiful testament to what is possible when you can open yourself up to embodiment and to relating in a brand new way. And a lot of the tools that I'll share with you were our journey of why we were featured in this publication. I also, many people don't know that when my second son was born, is an emergency situation where he came so fast that no one could get to us, nor could we get to anywhere. And so my wife and I delivered him on our own in the bathroom. And so this is moments after he literally came out of my wife and the medical team had come over, the doula and the midwife. I was just in shock, and they snapped this picture of me holding my maybe 20 minute old son in my arms. And what that experience really gave me was this understanding, or this idea, that, wow, there is something here around fatherhood that's really important for me to work in. And it really sobered me up to the work that needs to be done around being ready for it as a dad and sharing that with other people. And so I created the Integrative Father. And what I truly believe is this quote by Mother Teresa, which is, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. So every year I run a big event called Dad Week to give dads a lot of these tools for a week long before Father's Day in America. And then I also run weekly dad groups with dads from around the world to just kind of keep this support going. So that's a little bit about who I am. And so I do this work because I really care about how children experience your childhood. Having experienced my own childhood in the way that I have and coming to peace with that, I really see and notice how other children experience their childhood. So I'll write that, and everything will be on my website, theintegrativefather.com. And if you're interested in joining the dad group, I'll be starting a new one in November. So you're welcome to reach out, and we have a fun group from around the world that comes together, a small, intimate group that really gets to open up and share about who they are. So I also care about, and I've gotten really good at, helping men integrate their masculine to overcome the limitations. I've done men's work for 7 years. That's been my whole entry point to people coming through yoga or tantra or whatever. For me, it was men's work. And so I've been a men's work facilitator for many years. And that's why I specifically choose to work with dads, because I do think that they're the kind of more important piece. And I want that ripple effect to go out to families and communities. And so that is the whole point of where I'm coming from in this presentation. So let's dive in. Let's dive into some stories that set us up for failure as dads, all right? First and foremost, the old story is dad knows best, right? And so the real story is that, yeah, for most people, to be honest, parenting was poorly modeled by parents and caregivers. You know, they didn't have Google. They didn't have all of these tools and techniques that have been researched and put to use today. And so what our parents did was their best, but was actually not the best of what's out there. And so even though they did their best, there are better ways to create a very healthy, a very happy, a very thriving community for you, everyone, your partners, yourself, and your kids. And majority of that is not going to be the way that your parents parented. And so I just really want to break that open first and foremost right now, is that we really can't look at the way that we were parented, say, oh, well, I'm fine, and then try to do more of that. We need to question everything about the way that we were parented, not just assume that dad knows best. And really, you know, one of my favorite coaches says, don't be a know-it-all, be a learn-it-all, and really step into the world of conscious parenting tools that exist for learning new ways to do things that not only will eradicate power struggles, which I'll talk about in this presentation, but will also release a lot of generational trauma that's being passed down inadvertently by parents who tend to choose to do what their parents did for them. Another story is that parenting is intuitive. You can't read about becoming a parent. It's just, you know, you become a dad and then you just know. Yeah, okay, so let's talk about the real story here, is that taking care of a child is totally intuitive. Yeah, you know when to feed them, you know when to bathe them, you wipe their butts when they have a poo-poo. Like, okay, yes, caretaking is intuitive. But understanding how to raise a child that's really happy, feels secure in themselves, feels connected to their world, that is not intuitive. You know, and in fact, I would argue that most people don't know how to do this because it was never modeled for us. And so there is a lot of wealth of information that's out there. And I encourage this to be your opening foray into exploring that whole world. We'll be sharing a lot of that here today, and you'll see just how powerful it can be for shifting. So a lot of times I hear dads, and they'll say, well, at least I'm doing better than my parents did. And that is not a mark of success. It is not a mark of success to do better than a generation ago that didn't have access to all this information and wisdom and culture that we're in right now. It's truly important that you step into doing your best. So another old story is at the end of the day, we're all just figuring it out. There's no one answer. Just got to do your best and you're good. Okay, let's talk about the real story is that men have been gathering around the fire specifically and women, you know, but talk about parenting, talk about fatherhood, talking about, hey, this is going on for me. What's going on for you? Sharing this wisdom. And so there is ageism. We're not the first dads to ever come into our roles and feel overwhelmed. It has been going on for millennia. All right. And so there is age old wisdom that exists. And when that is combined with new age research and psychological studies and tools around child psychology, wow, what that does is that it puts both worlds together. And that's what I like to straddle, is the old age wisdom and the new age research. And when you combine those, that's when the things start to happen. All right. And so the gift is that what you've been seeking has been sought by others. You simply got to look to see it. And I'm so honored that you've shown up here today to seek it and to receive it. Where your attention goes, energy flows. So this is automatically going to open you up into more ideal parenting experience. So here's what the traditional story has been, right? If when we talk about fatherhood and struggles, we're told just give things time, just be strong, don't be emotional, be the protector. It'll work itself out. Talk to parents and other parents and other parents, right? Google parenting tools and more tools. Go to mom and dad for advice. Get some self-help books. Google the answers. More money will fix it. More sex will fix it. More time and energy. If I just had more time and energy, everything would be fine. More patience. If this is resonating, if you've heard this or you've thought this, type it in the chat. You know, this is like a very common narrative that we're all floating in. More compromise. Just compromise. You can't have it all, right? And then maybe you'll get what you desire. Okay, this is the way that things have been going on. And I want to dispel the story once and for all. Does it make sense? Right? This is what I call the cross your fingers model. You cross your fingers and hopefully with all this stuff, somehow things will magically change. And honestly, that's not going to happen. Okay? There's a new way. I want to share the new way. And the new way is what I call the way of the integrated father. So in the new way, you just rewrite your fatherhood story. When you can rewrite the story on your own terms, in your own words, for what it means for you personally, and eradicate yourself from these narratives and old stories that we've been in, it's gonna change you, it's gonna change your life, it's gonna change your partnership, and it's gonna impact your children in a way that are gonna lead them to be the leaders of this world that we're creating, all right? So then there's some characters that I use in the story that you rewrite that helps you identify pieces of you and bring them to life. And once you get started, it becomes this momentum, positive momentum game that just creates more and more and more ripples. I have had dads tell me, I've used your tools and I've created more connection with my autistic son in the last week than I have in the last few years combined. I've had dads tell me for the first time in a year, I slept in the same bed as my wife, right? There are powerful shifts that can happen when you use some of these tools. So what are these characters? Well, these are the seven archetypes of the integrated father, all right? So it totally allows you to rewrite your fatherhood story. It makes being a dad what you want it to be versus what you feel it should be, okay? It picks up where the new age research and tools leave off to really create transformation. You know, the journey of fatherhood is actual to transformation. And it actually creates more time for yourself to more deeper connection with your kids and just time spent together and more intimacy that lasts and builds with your partner. In the US alone, you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce, and that usually happens after the first child is born. And so there's a huge correlation between children coming into the picture and relationships just not being able to continue to sustain. And that's because these archetypes haven't been integrated, these new stories haven't been written. All right, so these are the seven archetypes of the integrated father. All right. So let's see if anyone has a guess. Type in the chat. What do you think is the very first archetype? This one should be easy. The king, exactly, nailed it. All right. So the king is all about claiming your power, okay, and truly claiming it, and about gaining clarity and confidence about your life and what matters and what doesn't actually matter, all right? And so it is really important that we claim our king and understand what is our kingdom. Because when the king is healthy, the kingdom is healthy. Okay, so if you don't know what includes what's included in your kingdom, first and foremost, you need to claim that. Is it your partner, your children, your work, your home? You know, is your sister, who's now an adult, a part of your kingdom? Are your parents part of that kingdom? Are there influences, or are they separate pieces of your kingdom, right? So you understand what's in and what's out. And then when you can claim the king and you choose to take care of yourself, that action, that behavior of taking care of yourself is going to ripple through your kingdom, and people will see you doing that self-care, and they're going to do it and take care of themselves as well, or they're going to choose the things that you choose. And so I love sharing case studies from the work that I've done, but I think it really brings it home. So this is Rish. He was feeling just very heavy, very confused. You know, his kids were, 2 and 4. And so now they are getting beyond like this, the da, 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 and really having like conversations and all of this stuff. And so his pattern was that he just kind of began feeling shut down, right? He was just in this place where he was feeling shut down. He just kind of, you know, instead of responding to it, he would close off and then try to avoid, stay at work longer. And the practice that we did was that we helped him claim his king. We helped him claim who he really was and what his kingdom was, and step into the power that he gets to create the narrative. You know, one of the aspects of what was happening was that the kids would be asking all these questions, and he found himself feeling stuck between what voice he had in his mind of what his parents would want him to say and what he truly authentically felt about all of these, you know, permission that he needed to give. And when he was stuck between the two, he just shut down and he did nothing. He created more distance between his partner and himself and his children and himself. And so by claiming his king, what he was able to do was to actually understand that he owns the narrative. He can respect what his parents believe and take their input. But as the king, he now has the control. He now has the power. And what he truly authentically feels and wants to bring forth is really what's most important. And once he was able to do this, it helped him connect more deeply to his power. And we all are so powerful when we can get out of the narratives that we're in. And therefore, he also had more deep connection to his entire family. So claiming your king is a really super important aspect of coming into your father energy. All right. Now the second one, oops, I already gave it away. What was it? The prince. Okay. So the prince is around really loving your inner child. And it has a lot to do of coming to inner peace, especially if we grew up in an environment that may have been abusive or may have been toxic or may have been with narcissistic parents. You know, the prince is going back and tending to our little child. And so this is a case study from Danny. And so, you know, he just had judgment and anger at his wife, his kids, himself. He was just in this place of just judging everyone. And the pattern was he'd always be creating these threats. How could you? How could you say that to me? How could you challenge me on that? How could you, you know, and he's very in this defensive place. And so when he came to me, we kind of eradicate this. And the practice was to tend to his prince, right? And tending to his prince included a lot of the work that you're going to be seeing on the embodiment conference, was by going back into that trauma, really feeling it, really healing it, understanding what is that little boy's need and bringing that forward. And a lot of the work that I do with dads is I help them go back into play. You know, I have dads who are so wrapped up in their business and being the provider. And after like 8 weeks of just, you know, group calls and being together, you know, they're like, oh, it went on 4 hours of a bike ride and it was amazing. I didn't even listen to audiobook. I just enjoyed 4 hours alone by myself. And I came back feeling so refreshed. That is what it looks like to tend to your prince, that adventure, that aspect of just wanting to take in the whole world. And so the potential that this brought for Danny was this aspect of not only having self-love, but being able to bring that self-love and then reflect it into his family. So honoring his kids in a different way, honoring his partner in a different way, and bring that energy back. When you refuel yourself, then you can not only give that energy out, but people will see the impact of doing that and they'll choose that same thing. So it's really important. And here's the thing, the gold of the prince is that the prince is this archetype, okay, and the princess for all the women who are tuning in. It's the archetype of someone who accepts everything. They fully accept themselves and they fully accept others, right? As children, they don't care what you look like, what you smell like, what you're wearing. They just love you. And when you can fully continue that integration into 9, 12 years old and beyond, and there's a continual acceptance of yourself and others, that is when you can have a healthy maturation into the king or queen, okay? And so if you can help foster anything in your children, it is this ability to accept themselves fully and accept all others fully without judgment. The moment they begin to judge others, they judge themselves. Now they're in a place of judgment. When they mature into their king or queen, they're going to be insecure. They'll be full of judgment and they won't be able to be in that integrity. Okay. So just take a moment right now and reflect on your own experience, either with yourself or with your kids. Are you sensing a pattern of judgment, or do you see this full acceptance of self and others? Because that is what healthy maturation actually looks like. All right. All right, next, any guesses on the next archetype? This one's a little bit challenging. Most people don't get this one. Winner, peacemaker, very close. And in fact, those are probably other names for this. This is the warrior. The warrior just doesn't come in time of war, but the warrior works actively for creative destruction, destructing anything that's in the way of actually getting to where it is that you want to be, or it's creative destruction of like seeing what's in my life that needs to be eradicated and using your creative energy for that. So it's activating energy and excitement for life and the zest. And it comes through discipline, direction, and drive, which men need. Women need this also, but fathers, you know, if you don't have discipline in your life, if you don't have direction in your life, then you won't have drive in your life and you're going to feel kind of purposeless. And so the warrior is a really key aspect of bringing this to life. So the warrior archetype again goes back into integrity. So the old story is a good father should be just strong and he should be a provider and he should be right all of the time. Okay. He should just know everything. Like he's this well of wisdom. And maybe we felt that way about our dads, but they were imperfect people just like you and I. So the new story, okay? So the new story is that when you want a deeply connected and loving family, right? That is actually created when parents are authentic, okay? And they operate in full integrity when making for choices for their family. They model emotional mastery, which means being with your emotions, including the uncomfortable ones. You know, and so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, narrative now around shame and the work of Brené Brown and really bring that into the spotlight. But that means like, how do you be with shame? How do you be with discomfort and not use blame to discharge it? You know, how are you vulnerable and honest and authentic in your family instead of being like, I'm fine, I'm okay. You don't look okay. Now, does that, what that means is you're teaching your children that if they're not okay, it's not okay for them to say they're not okay. Because when you're not okay, you're saying that you're okay. Do you see the loop that this creates, the narrative that this creates in your family? And so if you can be vulnerable and say, I'm just feeling really sad today, a really hard day at work. I'm just sitting sad. Daddy, do you want a hug? Yeah, I'd love a hug. You know, let your 4-year-old, your 12-year-old, your 9-year-old hug you. And that curiosity. Hey, I don't know the answer to that question. I'll tell you kids, especially when they're like 9, 11, 12, you know, they have a bullshit detector. So if you don't know, you know, my kids are 5 and 3 and they'll ask me questions. I'll say, I don't know. Let's Google that. Let's find out. Let's do an experiment. I don't know. Let's go find out. And that encourages them that when they don't know, they can be curious as well. You see how the integrity piece flows into the whole family? The way you act gives permission. You create a permission field for your whole family. So the gift here is that if you cannot really love yourself and be authentic, and we all have shit, Okay, like we all have shit. So it's hard to love ourselves because that's the world that we all grew up in. Everyone knows this. You can't own that, right? You can't, you know, work to love yourself. It's a lot of the work that I do with dads is loving yourself and being authentic and being true and speaking your truth, even when it's hard. That you will not ever be able to fully love your kids and embrace their authenticity too. So you don't have to be perfect for them to love you. And therefore they will get that message that they don't have to be perfect to be loved, and they can actually experience unconditional love, which many people in our generation have not experienced, all right? And so that's just a really important aspect. So this is a case study from Daniel. Daniel was newly pregnant, first-time parents, right? So him and his partner had just gotten pregnant. It's very exciting for them. The pattern was, and they had been like high school sweethearts, right? So they've been together for a long time, and they just got pregnant, and they were getting to the next level of their relating. And the pattern that emerged was, well, if you can't blank, then I'm out of here. There's these threats, right? And if you can't this or that. So the pattern was that they were feeling this, they're feeling scared. They're just feeling this disconnect coming through. And so the practice that I taught Daniel was around holding the shield. And what was happening is because they had been in a relationship for so long since they were in high school, now that his partner was going through some of those hormonal, physical, physiological, psychological changes through pregnancy, he began to feel really insecure that things were changing too much and maybe this had all been a bad idea. And what he was doing that I showed him was that he was holding the shield in front of him, which meant he was separating his wife and soon-to-be child. And the thing that you need to do as a warrior is you need to know where your shield is. Look, I have goosebumps if you can see that, is to open that shield and bring them in and to hold that, okay, we're in this shield together. And whatever is happening here, we're gonna work through that and I'm committed to that. And when he changed his self-protection into having the empathy and compassion for where his wife was and to understand the journey of pregnancy, which, oh my God, women, thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Journey of pregnancy, I can never even imagine. You know, that's just, it's such a powerful, profound experience. So thank you. But to just open up that shield and to let them in and to hold it around and to create that container as a warrior. And when he was able to make that shift, which took a few weeks to do, then it brought this potential into his life where there's peace, he was resourceful. So what, instead of blabbing at his partner right away and making these threats while she's pregnant, he now became resourceful, was able to find me as a resource and other tools, and therefore he created compassion in his system for these moments where his wife was having these, women can get crazy when they're pregnant, right? We all know that. And he was able to have compassion for that instead of being in that reactivity of his little child. So this is the potential of what happens when you can step into your integrity and step into your warrior. So the reflection here is that it doesn't matter how much you want epic partnership, there's no escaping cause and effect. There's cause and effect. Beautiful. Thank you, Vaughn, for that reflection. So if you want to be living in your ideal relationship, then you have to be proactive about that, all right? And so if you want love from your partner, from your children, for who you are, okay, and who you like truly are, invest in your love. Let them grow with you and support your individual development. You have to do that for them. Right? You have to invest in their love. You have to grow with them. You have to, no matter what age or awkward, level they're at, tantrums or teenagers, you have to just grow and support them continually. And that's going to happen back for you. All right. So continue that investment in growth for yourself and for others. All right. The next archetype, this one should be easy. What is it? Type it in the chat. What's the next archetype? Lava. Love it. Yeah, you nailed it. Yep, Vaughn, you nailed it. Lover, exactly. So lover is around opening up to awareness and love. Most men are like, no, I'm okay, I'm fine, right? And they don't let love in. They don't bring their awareness to what they're embodying. And when it comes to embodiment, wow, is there a next level of bringing in joy and pleasure? All right. What are the different ways in which you can feel joy in your life and expand your ability to feel joy, expand your ability to feel pleasure in your life, especially in intimacy? So a lot of work that I do is around opening up the capacity for more love and more joy, opening up the heart, opening the body, opening up the sex center to bring in more of this through the archetype of the lover. And so the lover archetype, first and foremost, I need to blast this old story that love is a feeling. Sometimes I'll hear from my friends who are still single and whatever, like, I just kind of fizzled. I didn't feel it anymore. That's an old story. When they tell me that, I say, pause. Okay, let's talk about it. Really, love is more than a feeling. It's a choice. And it's a choice that you make daily. It's a choice that I make daily in my relationship, exactly, Jan. So there's something called new relationship energy, if you're familiar with this. This is the Twitter-pated butterflies of meeting the new person, and they fit perfectly into your life, and you're so attracted to them, and the sex is amazing. It's new relationship energy. And eventually, the honeymoon phase, after 6 or 9 or 12 months, ends, and you enter what's called mature relationship energy. Okay, as I said, my wife is a relationship coach. She's got all this on lockdown and downloaded it to me. And so in mature relationship energy, you wake up every day and love becomes a choice. All those things like about where they put their toothbrush or they left a towel on the floor now becomes not cute, becomes annoying. And then you have to choose loving that person through all of that. And so the gift here is that you always have the power to get exactly what it is that you want. And you have to remember that every moment is practice or a pattern. And so if you're in these patterns of letting go as soon as the feeling goes away, how can you be in a practice of leaning into that and choosing to love this person exactly where they are, no matter where it is that they've been before? So here it is another case study that I've done with Ted. So Ted was in a relationship, and after their second child was born, the relationship was just crumbling. It was bringing in, there's this like, even more happening that a toddler now, they had a second child. It was a lot that was going on. And so the pattern that he was in with his partner was to sweep it under the rug. We're not gonna talk about it. It's all okay, you're right? And really, you know, the pattern of sweeping under the rug is what leads to divorce. If you're in a pattern right now in your relationship of sweeping under the rug, not talking about it, letting it be fine, blabbing about it to your guy friends or your girlfriends, but not actually talking about it to your partner, like, hey, what you did today really hurt, and I just want to kind of share that, right? It's just going to explode at some point. So this is not a sustainable long-term solution. The practice that I gave him that I want to share with you all is this is who we need to be to create lasting intimacy in our life. And that means that we need to take on lead roles. And typically this will be if it's a male, female partnership, typically, it just happens to be natural. And this is what Ted and his partner Carolyn chose, but there's lead roles. If both individuals are focused on leading the family and being the parental lead, guess what gets focused on? Parenting. And guess what doesn't get focused on? The relationship. And so what you actually have to do is uncouple this, and one person becomes the parenting lead and one person becomes the relationship lead. And so for Ted, his partner, was just so breastfeeding, was really in tune with the children. She became the parenting lead. That doesn't mean that Ted stopped parenting. It just means he became the vice president of parenting and she became the president. She would do all the research and the studies and, taking, okay, what's your sleep schedule? What's your eating schedule? Should we introduce this new food? Okay, how are they being socialized? La, la, la. She became the president of taking charge of all that. And Ted, he became the president of leading the date nights, getting a sitter, getting a grandparent to come over, watching the kids and stealing away Carolyn and inviting her to come out of mom mode and come back into intimacy, whether that just means a dinner out, whether that meant a snuggle for 30 minutes during nap time, whether that meant a romantic overnight getaway with lots of sex, whatever it meant, he became the president. That doesn't mean that only he led the dates, but the more he's able to bring his partner out of mom mode and remind her of the beautiful, beloved queen that she is, the woman that she is outside of being a mom, the more she would remember the love that she had for him and be able to express it to him without the children distracting them, which let him feel more fulfilled, bringing more pleasure, more joy. And then she would then take him out on dates as well. Okay. Yeah, pregnancy does not make you crazy. People do crazy things during pregnancy, and there are actual hormonal, physiological, physical, and psychological changes that occur, but they don't mean that you're crazy. Yeah, so if that was in any way misinterpreted, doesn't make you crazy, but crazy things can happen during that time because hormones are so high, and a real shift does happen, all right? So thank you, KO. So the potential here is that you can have a thriving relationship and a sex life and a family dynamic when one person says, hey, I want to pull you out of mom mode. And sometimes, and I've done this personally, is I won't even take my wife on a date. I'll call all her girlfriends and say, hey, can you guys have a girls' night? And then I'll show up and say, hey, babe, I'm going to watch the kids tonight and put them to bed. I'll do the final feeding from the bottle. You know, the girls are waiting for you downstairs and they're going to take you on a girls' night. And just reminding her that she is a woman. She is this individual person outside of being a mom 24/7. And so gifting that type of experience also just, you know, when she'd come back from that, I'd just be showered with kisses and love. Like, I needed that. I just needed some girl time, you know, without the kids. Like, so really being attuned to what each other needs. All right. Okay, next archetype. Any guesses? Ah, it came through somehow. Man, it's the magician, all right? So the magician is around feeling confidence to really do it all, like literally creating actual magic in being a father, okay? Or being a parent. Again, you know, we have a lot of women here, so thank you so much for being here as part of your journey. So in the magician archetype, the old story is, I don't have time and energy like I used to. I can't do it all right? And the real story is that for most people, finding that time, finding that energy is far less difficult than just taking some time to invest in creating and cultivating a very dynamic, a long-term system in their life. A system that lets them have quality time with their kids, with their spouse, and themselves every day. Okay, and I want to teach that to you. Anyone excited to understand how to create a system in your life to create that time and connection for themselves, for your partner, and for your kids? Yeah, type in the chat if you're excited about this. I love this. This is my favorite tools. So, and a gift here is just disconnect you from the idea that following the status quo and doing what you've done is going to result in long-term happiness. Again, not to say that you're bad, but what I'm saying is there's so much out there that we haven't learned in our lives and modeled for us. It's this very hard to find information unless you truly look for it in the way that I have. And so thank you again for being here to just open up your mind to what's possible, because as soon as you look at what's possible, everything can really shift. Yeah, energy as well. Exactly. Okay, so this is Jamie. This is, again, a case study directly from a dad I work with. This is, he's feeling stuck a year into being parents, right? The first, you know, kind of time was great. And then the kid became about a year old. I think we talked on the first birthday party. It's actually a friend of mine who became a client. And so he, it was his first child's birthday, and he just started really opening up to me. He's like, I'm just feeling stuck. And so the pattern that was emerging for them was just like, okay, let's just get through the day. Anyone relate to that? Let's just get through today. We'll make it. We'll just get through today. We'll just get through today. Okay. And what happens with that is that then you just kind of get through a year and you're not having that depth of connection or things that you want, and you thought things would be different, and you're just being pulled in different directions. And it's very difficult. And so the practice is what I call we time. Okay. And so we time is, it's just creating special time. And this is, I'll talk about it in relation specifically to your kids. So whether your kid is 1 year old, a few months, 9, 12, you know, 17, 22, it doesn't matter. I have dads in my weekly dad group that have kids all ages, and they use this tool. And it's just creating a little, putting on a timer. You know, and again, I say do it for 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening, okay? And so what you do is you're not just getting breakfast with them. You're not just playing with them. You're saying, hey, Sally, I'm going to put on a timer for 10 minutes. And during these 10 minutes, we're going to do anything that you want, okay? So you're truly giving permission during those 10 minutes for them to be completely witnessed encouraged and accepted. Okay. And so you're not creating that idea. You're not saying, hey, let's go for a walk and we'll bond because you saw it on some Hallmark movie that walking with your children and talking is where life happens. Okay. Screw that. Okay. Screw that narrative of the Hallmark movie. You let them choose. And so what happened is, you know, you just witness them in what they want to do. They want to go bang all the pots and pans in the kitchen. And of course, you can create constraints as make sense for you. But then you say, okay, let's go get the pots and pans out and we'll make a rock concert. Great. Okay. So you're going to witness them exactly what they want to do. They want to climb up to the highest cupboard and grab some snack that they love. They want you to see them climbing. Okay. Witness them climbing, but say, okay, in order to be safe, please take off your socks and la, la, la. Okay. So you create safety, but you just witness them in what they're so energetic and excited to share. Okay. So you witness them and then you encourage them. So as you take the pots and pans out, you say, ooh, what about this, you know, like egg whisker? This might make a really fun sound. And then you're playing with them. Okay. You're getting into whatever it is that they're really into. Like, oh, what if we did this? What if we did that? So you're encouraging more expression to come out. You're not saying, no, drum like this. You're saying, oh my God, look at that drumming that you're doing. Can you drum louder? Can you hit that really big pot really strongly? And they're just kind of going wild. Like, Dad, are you okay? Like, are you letting me do everything that I want? This is so cool. I love you. And I feel so loved. And then you're accepting everything. Again, you're creating safety, right? So at some point, if mom's in the other room on a work call, you don't want to be banging pots and pans, right? So you still create the container. But what you do is you just create this we time, witnessing, encouraging, and accepting them for a full 10 minutes nonstop. And then the timer goes off, and then you take a breath, and then you say thank you. Say thank you so much for bringing me into your, you don't have to say it this way, but ultimately you're saying something along the lines of thank you so much for bringing me into your world. That was so fun to witness you and encourage you and accept you. I love you for exactly who you are. And if you have 2 4-year-olds, they're each gonna wanna do something different. If you have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, if you have a 17-year-old, you have a 22-year-old, call them. You know, if they're in their last year of college, just call them and say, hey, I just wanna listen and hear what it is, whatever that you wanna talk about. I'm not gonna give you advice. I just wanna listen to you. Wow, that's so cool that you did that new thing and joined that new class, you know, all that sort of stuff. So witness, encourage, accept. Exactly. Yeah, nail it, Jan. So this is a key. This is what makes it so different than just going on a walk or having breakfast together or these rituals that we're used to, is that you're focusing on letting them be fully expressed. And guess what? When you can do this with your partner, this is really, really good. Because dads, they tend to want to fix whenever they hear their partners talk about something. Just witness them. Like, yeah, okay, I see you doing that. Or if they're cooking, yeah, I just want to, can I just watch you, you know, and encourage you and accept you, whatever it might be. Witnessing, encouraging, and accepting for 10 full minutes in the morning, 10 full minutes at night. We started doing this, you know, like our kid was just like, you know, 3 years old. We'd go to school, we get reports of like, you know, he's acting this way, and I'm like, okay, let's fix this. Before we go to school, we're going to do we time. Okay. And we do we time every day before he went to, you know, his play school, and it changed everything. It changed. He was just having so much fun. He's connected to all the kids there because his bottle was full. His bottle was full. And so also do this for yourself. What can you witness yourself doing? How can you encourage yourself, accept yourself? Maybe it's as simple as taking 10 minutes to sit down and read a book that you've been wanting to read. Maybe as simple as going on a walk without listening to, you know, an audio book, without trying to self-develop and just enjoying nature. Maybe it's putting on your old rollerblades. Whatever that is, it's going into we time. So potential is time for things that matter and a love of practices, making this a real practice that you do with your family, with your spouse. You make this a system and it just becomes before they go to school, they get we time. Then they're not complaining about their Zoom call and wanting attention and I don't want to be on video and da, 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 and my camera's not right and internet's not working. And why are they doing that? Because they miss you. They want to be feeling your love completely. And we time is a boom, most direct, impactful channel you have to do that. Okay, so I'm looking at the time and I want to make sure we get through everything. So I'm going to do these next two a little bit quicker. The next one is the navigator, and this is around deepening connection and also finding balance and integrating all parts of you. So this is a navigator that helps you understand which archetype to be in at any time. Okay. By the way, how is this resonating? Leave me some in the chat, how this is resonating with you, the work of the archetypes to become an integrated father. I'd love to hear. Okay. Stunning. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. So the navigator archetype, the old story is only people who are falling apart get help. Okay. And the real story is that every father should have a mentor. Okay. Mentoring brings two things. Number one, it brings new ideas and it brings accountability, right? So people who can see a bigger version of you and get make you accountable to actually getting where you want to go. Hopefully some of you will do We Time this week, but are you going to do it a month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, and continue that practice? And so getting some level of mentoring, whether it's just a brother you can reach out to, another dad. A lot of my dads in my community, they'll just kind of create these accountability partnerships with each other to navigate life's challenges. That's why we have our weekly dad calls. And so find this in your life in whatever way you can. There's so many amazing organizations out there that can help you create this in your life. And so the gift is that there are new ideas in your head right now, hopefully, that would not have been there if you didn't make time for this class. And to be in the strongest navigator, it's to find the external resources and support to make sure that you're navigating life in the way that you want it to be. And then the final one is the sage. This is one of my favorites. This is about connecting to the wisdom that we have within us, feeling that total reassurance. A lot of dads will tell me, I don't even know if I'm doing the right thing, and I have so much pressure to make sure I am. And all parents, right? Mothers as well. And so it really puts you in a position where you begin to advise others, all right? And so in the sage archetype, I'm just reading, I'm sitting in the best. Yeah, oh, beautiful. I love these reflections. So with the sage archetype, the foundation for building a connection with your kids actually begins with, surprise, surprise, a connection to yourself, right? And so most people know themselves, but it's only to a certain point. We all have those sticky areas that we don't want to go into, and those are the places where we actually going to get the most juiciness. And so beyond that, things tend to become a little bit murky, right? Knowing those shadowy parts, anyone familiar with shadow work? I do a lot of shadow work with my dads, but it's knowing those deep parts and going into the shadow is where you find that fuel for really showing up in your total full authenticity. And once you can open up into that authenticity, the wisdom that you have inside of us that we've all had for millennia, it comes through. And that's where we begin to advise others. A lot of dads that I work with go on to create their own little mini dad circles in their own communities, which is so heartwarming for me to see, because I can see their sage activated and now they're going off on their own and sharing more of these ripples and helping more dads. And so this is a super huge part of the work of the integrated father, is to integrate your sage archetype. So when you really know that who you are and your needs and your desires, and you can show fully in your relationship and communicate what you need to your family and say, hey, this is what's coming up for me. This is what I need. Hey, I'm feeling really angry. I need to go into the other room and let some steam out. Or I'm feeling really sad. Or I'm feeling really happy. Or this is what I need support with. You know, this is what I need you to agree with, so we don't have these continual, you know, tantrums and fights happening. That's when the sage archetype truly comes through, is because you know how to navigate instead of threatening, instead of posturing, instead of these games that we're taught to play by what our parents did. Bad mouthing each parent to the other with the kids, all that stuff goes away when you can connect and just say, I just need to speak my truth in this moment. I need to speak my truth in this moment. And that models for your children that they can speak their truth and be held. So these are the seven archetypes of the integrated father, the king, the prince, the warrior, the lover, the magician, the navigator, and the sage. And so today I had promised to share with you why we're set up to fail as dad. We talked about all of the bullshit stories that we are adopted into and how to break through those, how to intentionally connect in less than 20 minutes a day, to, again, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night, literally putting it on your timer and calling it we time or special time or whatever it is that you want to be doing. And again, not just doing it, but literally putting the timer and saying, this is you time, okay? Or kid time, whatever you want to call it. They know they're getting a special time. Don't just do it, not like put a timer on it, okay? Who we need to be to enjoy lasting intimacy, that's taking on the leadership role of the relationship lead. what it means to activate our inner king and to know what that means and what our actual kingdom is. And then all the art masculine archetypes to help us live a more fulfilling life. So again, I started the presentation, I'll end it there as well. Everything about pattern or practice. You can continue to be in the patterns that you've, you know, learned intentionally or unintentionally in life and bring those on, and your children will take them on. Or you can decide to implement a lot of what I've spoken about today into a new practice that will create not only a new sense of life for yourself and your family, but create that ripple in your community and for the rest of the world as well. And so one of my favorite quotes that my coach shares with me is, may my longing for growth be my greatest desire. And so I want to leave you with that. May your longing for growth be your greatest desire. And so I'll be happy to take some Q&A if we have a few moments right now. I think we did great on time. And then also feel free to stay in touch with me. If you're interested, I run a big event called Dad Week. Every year it's a free event. Hundreds of dads from around the world join. It's around Father's Day, U.S. Father's Day. Because I know Father's Day is different parts of the world. And it's a free event for dads all over. And you can find out at integratedfather.com, as well as I do run weekly and sometimes every other week dad circles. So if you're interested in that, just email me, you'll get me directly. And I'm so grateful and thankful to all of you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Christina, and the whole team at the Embodiment Conference for bringing this together, and for all of you for showing up here. I'm really, really honored. So thank you. Deep gratitude.
Thank you, Jamin. Unfortunately, I will not be able to include Q&A right now. So I would encourage anyone who does have questions and wants to connect with Jamin to do that via his website directly. And there will be a lot more space. And otherwise, I'll post a link to our Facebook group for this channel that you can also maybe connect with Jamin then through that, if he's willing to shift the conversation onto there, possibly. Because we tend to finish on time, so people get a break because we have so much going on. So I'll just do a couple of announcements and then I'll hand back to you for a final question. Is that all right?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And I was just going to say, a few people are saying that the website's being transferred over right now between two servers. So if you're getting any errors, just email me directly. Yeah. theintegratedfather@gmail.com. That might be a more direct way to connect with me, just so your email doesn't get lost during the transition. Okay, go ahead.
Wonderful. And such important work as well. We had a session with Dr. Warren Farrell talking about the importance of fathers. So this really ties in and gives some more direct advice. If you would like to chat with people in between sessions, we do have coffee breaks and we'll be posting a link to those. You can also find them on the website. It's a nice way of getting in touch with people from this community and just exchanging about whatever they've come across, expand your range on embodiment practices. Also, you can rewatch this session. We've recorded it. It's on the website, watchable for free for the next 48 hours, as well as on the Facebook page, which we've also posted the link of here. For the next 48 hours, you can just access these for free, rewatch what Jamin has shared because it's so dense and rich. If you want to keep it for a little longer than that, please consider upgrading to get the entire library. That can happen for just this channel, but also for the entire conference. And it massively supports us in putting on this event and bringing these wonderful speakers and giving them the platform to share their wisdom and knowledge. And as a last question to you, Jamin, before we move on in an hour to Nami Pele, actually with the progressive shadow work. So there is already something that you could tie in with. Our last question is, what is your top tip to stay or be embodied?
My top tip for being embodied is to just literally, it's being in a practice of being with what is. Yeah. And so embodiment comes from not making certain emotions bad or good, but to know that they're all there and we're going to continually be on a journey of feeling them all. And so embodiment to me, the biggest tip is to be with what is. And so I find like when there's discomfort, like there's shame or there's fear or there's sadness or there's anger, my I tend to be like, oh, how do I fix this? How do I discharge this? Like, you know, and it becomes this kind of like wanting to get rid of. And embodiment to me is where I'm just really being with that discomfort I mean, obviously there might be some emotional release that needs to happen if it's really built up. So you need to let off the steam, you know, there's a lot of emotional release practices that you can do. But once that's there, that discomfort might be there, but I found that being with that and going into it, like being excited to go into it, actually is the thing that dissipates it. So whatever, like I even feel physical pain in my body, I'll allow that pain to come through. Instead of being, oh my God, I'd be like, okay. And I'll breathe through that. And that allows me to be more embodied. So yeah, to be with what is, to really, really be with it is to be embodied.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Damon. And that was it for your wonderful session.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. Thank you everyone for joining. Look forward to being in touch, and would love any feedback or whatever, if there's a way for that to be captured, or if you have anything directly, just let me know what resonated the most or anything else. Big love to you all. Thank you, Jan, Nikhil, Christina, all of you, Vaughn, etc. Appreciate you all. Take care. Bye-bye.